Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Ma'amar by Ram Gold. All right, here is Zichu Chulin Daf Yud Gimel. The first parak called Shoichetin. The Zichu Zichu Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan's inquiry about a katan's capacity for machshava was about machshavaso nikeres mitoch maasav, where his intent is apparent from his actions, such as where a katan brought an ola from the south side of the Azara to the north side and shechted it without declaring his intent. Does his action indicate his intent to shecht it as an ola, or perhaps he simply moved it for practical reasons? The Gemara objects that Rabbi Yochanan already taught that he does have such machshava. If one brought produce up to his roof because of insects and dew descended onto it, it's not susceptible to tumah unless he wanted it to be wet sometime before it dried. But a katan who brought up produce does not subject it to tumah even if he intended it to be wet because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rav Yochanan added that hipech mehen, if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah since his intent is apparent from his action. The Gemara answered Rabbi Yochanan was asking if this principle is only midrabbanan and only for stringencies, or even midraisa and effective even for shechita of karbanas. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that whatever an obed kochabim shechs is an avela and is metame through being carried. Tosos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis explains that shechita is only valid when performed by Jews who require it. The Gemara infers that it is only an avela but mutar bahana. Rabbi Yochanan notes that this Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, who says, "Stam machshavas obed kochavim lavoros kochavim." The unspecified intent of an idolater is for idolatry, and his shechita would be forbidden in Hana. Rabbi Yami infers from the Mishnah that the shechita of Amin, a devotee of Avodah Zorah, is forbidden in Hana because it's assumed to be for idolatry. The Gemara asks why the shechita of an ordinary Gentile is mutabana. Why are we not concerned that he's a mean? Rabbi Bar Avuha answers, Ein rov ovde kochavim mean. Most Gentiles are not meaning. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers. El min hagavosein biyadehen. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hashochet b'layla, if one shechs at night, the kenasuma shashachet, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'diyevet after the fact, but not permitted l'chachila, since he can't see if he has cut both simanim. This contradicts a brisa which states, Lom shechtin ben b'yom ben b'layla. One may shecht at all times, whether by day and by night, as well as on a rooftop or on a boat. Rapapa answers the Bryce's cases, B'sha'avuka kenegdo, where there's a torch opposite him and he can see a shechita, but the Mishnah's case is one who shechs in the dark. This distinction is supported by the two texts. The Bryce groups shechting at night together with shechting by day, implying that this nighttime shechita is similarly visible, whereas the Mishnah groups shechita at night with shechita by a blind person, indicating that shechita is in the dark. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan's inquiry about a katan's capacity for machshava was about machshavaso nikeres mitoch maasav, where his intent is apparent from his actions, such as where a katan brought an ola from the south side of the Azara to the north and shechted it without declaring his intent. Does his action indicate his intent to shecht it as an ola, or perhaps he simply moved it for practical reasons? The Gemara objects that Rabbi Yochanan already taught that he does have such machshava. If one brought produce up to his roof because of insects and dew descended onto it, it's not susceptible to tumah unless he wanted it to be wet sometime before it dried. But a katan who brought up produce does not subject it to tumah even if he intended it to be wet because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rav Yochanan added that hipech mehen, if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah since his intent is apparent from his action. The Gemara answered Rabbi Yochanan was asking if this principle is only midrabbanan and only for stringencies, or even midraisa and effective even for shechita of karbanas. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that whatever an obed kochabim shechs is an avela and is metame through being carried. Tosos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis explains that shechita is only valid when performed by Jews who require it. The Gemara infers that it is only an avela but mutar bahana. Rabbi Yochanan notes that this Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, who says, "Stam machshavas obed kochavim lavoros kochavim." The unspecified intent of an idolater is for idolatry, and his shechita would be forbidden in Hana. Rabbi Yami infers from the Mishnah that the shechita of Amin, a devotee of Avodah Zorah, is forbidden in Hana because it's assumed to be for idolatry. The Gemara asks why the shechita of an ordinary Gentile is mutabana. Why are we not concerned that he's a min? Rabbi Bar Avuha answers, Ein rov ovde chochavim min. Most Gentiles are not meaning. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers. El min hagavosein biyadehen. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. And point number 3, the next Mishnah states, Hashochen b'layla, if one shechs at night, the kenasuma shashachat, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'diyevet, after the fact, but not permitted l'chadchila, since he can't see if he has cut both simanim. This contradicts a brisa which states, Lo'om shechtin ben b'yom ben b'layla. One may shecht at all times, whether by day and by night, as well as on a rooftop or on a boat. Rapapa answers the Bryce's cases, B'sha'avuka Kenegdo, where there's a torch opposite him and he can see a shechita, but the Mishnah's case is one who shechs in the dark. This distinction is supported by the two texts. The Bryce groups shechting at night together with shechting by day, implying that this nighttime shechita is similarly visible, whereas the Mishnah groups shechita at night with shechita by a blind person, indicating the shechita is in the dark. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Yud Gimel. Understand that Simon is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. While the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutter b'hana because in chutzar its goyim are assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kasher b'di'evid. Once again, slow motion. While the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. While the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, which reminds us, a katan who brought a produce onto the roof does not subject it to tumah, even if he intended it to be wet, because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rav Yochanan added that hipach behen, if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah, since his intent is apparent from his action. So while the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutter b'hana because in chutzlarts goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, which reminds us, Gemara discusses if shechita of an akum is mutter b'hana and not assumed to be for idolatry. Rabbi Bar Avuha answers, Ein rov ovde chochavim minim. Most Gentiles are not minim. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers. El min hagavosen biyadehen. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. So the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutter b'hana because in chutzlarts goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kasher b'di'evid, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoichet b'layla, if one shechs at night, v'kenasuma shashachat, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'di'evid after the fact, but not permitted l'chadchila, since he can't see if he's cut both simanim. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah's case is when it was dark, as opposed to when a torch was lit near him, in which case it is mutter l'chadchila. So once again, while the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there, shechita is mutter b'hana because in chutzlarts goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kasher b'di'evid. All right, so now it's time for a 4 blah bach hazara. Daf test. So the simon daf test is a teapot. So here goes. At the tea house, that must be on daf test, teapot. At the tea house where a butcher sitting down with his friends drinking tea confessed he didn't check the simanim after shechita, and his friends debated if the animal was a trefa or a nevela, which reminds us, Shmuel says the butcher must inspect the simanim after shechita to ensure they were properly cut. If he didn't, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yannai says it's considered a trefa and forbidden to eat, but a brisa teaches that it's a nevela and is metame through being carried. This malchuka stems from a Funa's principle, Behema b'chayah b'cheskes isur omedes. An animal during its lifetime is established as prohibited. Rashi explains that it was forbidden in consumption as every minachai until it becomes known to you how it was shechted, meaning that it was properly shechted. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yannai holds b'cheskes isur amrina. Although we say the animal is established in a prohibited state, b'cheskes tumah lo amrina, we do not say it's established in a state of tumah since it was not tame during its lifetime. Therefore, its status is similar to a trefa. So at the tea house where a butcher sitting down with his friends drinking drinking tea. Confess he didn't check the simanim after shechita, and his friends debated if the animal was a trefa or an avela. A wolf that took the intestines suddenly entered and returned them punctured. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said an animal is becheskas iser until it's known that it was properly shechted. He added nishchata, but once it was shechted, becheskas heter omeres. It's established in a permitted state until it becomes known to you how it became a trefa. This is applied to the case of the wolf that returned with intestines that are punctured, and we're concerned that perhaps the wolf's teeth punctured a spot in the intestine which had a pre-existing hole, and the animal was a trefa. Or do we assume the holes were created by a wolf? Rav Huna answered that we're not concerned there were pre-existing holes and rely on the animal's chazaka that it was not a trefa. So at the tea house where a butcher sitting down with his friends drinking tea confessed he didn't check the simanim after shechita, and his friends debate if the animal was a trefa or an avela. A wolf that took the intestines suddenly entered and returned them punctured. As a waiter jumped to stop a patron from taking a fig that a bird was taking for fear there was already a hole made by a poisonous snake. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abba challenged Rav Huna from a brice, which teaches that if one saw a bird pecking at a fig or a mouse puncturing watermelons, we are concerned that the hole was made there was already a pre-existing hole made by a poisonous snake, and the fruit may not be eaten. Rav Huna replied, Mikam Adamis Isur LaSakanta, are you comparing prohibitions to danger? Sakana Shani, danger is different and is treated more stringently than concern for possible prohibition. Daf Yud, so the Siman Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The distracted Shochet in the minion of Yidden, that must be around Daf Yud. The distracted Shochet and the minion of Yidden, who discovered that he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the shechitor or after it when he broke some bones, which reminds us, Amorim discuss, Hashochet b'sakin, if one shacks with a knife without examining it immediately before shechita, b'nimtzes his paguma, and it's found afterwards to be nicked, Rav Huna says that even if he broke bones with it all day before it was checked, the shechita is invalid because chayshin shema b'or nifkama. We're concerned that perhaps it was nicked by cutting the animal's hide as it began shechting. Rav Chissa says the shechita is valid since the knife may have been nicked when breaking a bone. So the distracted shochet in the minion of Yidden, who discovered that he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the shechita or after it when he broke some bones, davening next to a man who came from the shul mikvah and just noticed a chatzitza and realized his tevila was invalid, which reminds us, Rav Chissa's challenge from a brice, which teaches that a tamei who immersed in a mikvah and later discovered a chatzitza on himself, the tefillah is invalid, even if he handled the material the whole day after the tefillah, unless he certainly had no chatzitza beforehand. Thus, the sefer chatzitza does invalidate his apparent tefillah, and we do not assume the chatzitza developed afterwards. So the distracted shochet in the minion of Yidden, who discovered he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the shechita or after it when he broke some bones, davening next to a man who came from the shul mikveh and just noticed a chatzitza and realized his tevila was invalid, didn't notice that the shul was called Beis Chazok and was designed like a Beis Menuga, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mahana Milsa Da'am Rabban, from where do we derive this concept? The rabbis say, okay, Milsa Acheske, keep a thing on its prior known status until proven otherwise. Rav Yonason brings proof from the law of Nigay Batim, Tzras afflictions of houses, where the Kohen is instructed to leave the house after examining the Nega and close off the house for 7 days. But perhaps as he goes out of the house, Batsua Shura, the Nega shrinks to less than the minimum size and the closing off is ineffective. It must be that we establish the Nega on its prior Chazaka of sufficient size. Daf Yud Alf, so the Siman Daf Yud Alf is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. When the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars, that must be on Daf Yud Aleph. When the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the source of a ruba de isa kamon, a robe that's in front of us and brings achri rabim lahatos. So when the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, and the guilty party unsuccessfully tried to claim maybe it's not really his father, which reminds us, the Gemara brings sources for Ruba the Leisa Kaman, where the majority is not in front of us. For example, the case where someone strikes his father and is to be executed. But let us be concerned that he's not actually his father, for it's impossible to know for certain who the father is, since the wife might have had relations and conceived from another man. Rather, it must be that we follow the majority, Veroba Ilos Akra Abal, and most relations are with her husband, even if she was unfaithful. So when the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, and the guilty party unsuccessfully tried to claim maybe it's not really his father, one of the rabbis said that in a case where one can investigate, we should, because Hekada Efshar Efshar, and we do not rely on the rope, which reminds the Gemara, says, V'dilma hecha de efshar efshar. Perhaps where it's possible to avoid relying on rove, it's possible and we do not rely on it. But hecha de lo efshar, lo efshar. Where it's not possible to avoid relying on the rove, it's not possible, so we must rely on rove. Meaning, although there are indeed cases which require relying on rove, perhaps we do not rely on rove when it can be avoided, such as examining all the possible defects after shechita, or a katan and katana regarding yibum, where they can wait until becoming gedolim. This objection stands, and Rashi says that relying on rove must be derived from Halacha Moshe Mesinai, or from Achrei Rabbi Mahatos. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When 6 of 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be on Daf Yud Beis. When 6 of 12 brothers, who were so excited when they found a shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since rove mitzuin eitzel shechita, Mumchin hen, which reminds us, it was Tana Brice, Hari Shematza Tarnagos, Shchuta Bashuk. If one found the shechted hen in the marketplace, or he told his shuliach to shecht his hen, and later found it shechted, Cheskasu Shachut, it's presumed to be shechted properly. This proves that Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita, Mumchin hen. Most people who are involved in Shechita are experts, so we assume that whoever shechted it was an expert. So, when 6 of 12 brothers were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita, Mumchin hen, while 5 others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against a wall that happened to shecht the cow, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, who's the Tanu who holds the Lo Be'inin Kavanu L'Shechita, that we do not require the slaughterer to have intent for Shechita? Rava says, it's Rabbi Nassan, as the Braisa teaches, Zark Sakin Leno Etzel Bakosa, if one threw a knife to plunge it into the wall, and it went and shechted the correct way as it flew towards the wall, Rabbi Nassan says the shechita is valid, but the Chachamim say it's invalid. The halacha follows Rabbi Nassan. So when 6 of 12 brothers who were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita, Mumchin hen, while 5 others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against a wall that happened to shecht the cow, the youngest brother was left behind in a sandbox with a pomegranate he hauled out to measure sand, making it a kli, Tibi Makabal Tuma, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan asks, Katan Yesho Machshava or Einol Machshava? Does a minor have halachically significant thought, or does he not have thought? A Mishnah teaches that an acorn, pomegranate, or walnut, which children hauled out to measure sand in them, or fashioned to be a pan and a scale, are susceptible to tuma as utensils, mifnei, sheisha, and maisa, because children have the capability for halachically significant act, the einahen machshava, but they do not have the capability for halachically significant thought, meaning if they declared they would use the shell as a kli without fashioning it, it's not susceptible to tuma. Rabbi Yochanan's inquiry is explained on the next daf. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we discuss doing shechita at night? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if one shechted with a white-hot knife? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you learn that Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss the difference between shechting or cutting meat with a knife used for avodah zarah? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case where a wolf took intestines and returned them punctured? That's on daf Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we machok is in a case where the simanim were not checked after shechita, whether the animal is a trefa or a nevela? That's on daf Test. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss sources for Ruba de Lase Kaman, a majority that is not in front of us? For example, a case where one strikes his father and we question whether the father is really his father. That's on daf Yudalev. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we know that the source for Ruba de Lase Kaman, a majority that is in front of us, is Achrei Rabbi Mahatos? That's on daf Yudalev. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn Gedolim Tzadikim B'Misasan Yosem V'Chayen from the story of the Nevi Sheker's body touching the bones of Elisha and then coming back to life? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number 10. Which stuff to discuss what the din is in a case of a Tameh who was Tovel and later discovered a Chatzitza? That's on daf Yud. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.